This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And good afternoon. It's 12:06, and we are live and in person for Newsmakers. And in case you didn't know, Brent is out for the next couple of days. He is doing very hard work recruiting airline service to Salem. So keeping our fingers crossed for that as he presents to them today. He made a comment on my Facebook page today on something else that was going on. And I was like, hey, aren't you supposed to be doing something today? So we'll wait to hear on that one. So joining us as a guest host today is TJ Sullivan. He was our very first guest on Newsmakers back on November 13th. He is the president of the board of the Salem Chamber of Commerce. Welcome back into the studio, TJ.
Thank you. I also got lots of hats that I wear, but president right now of the chamber has been something that's been a passion of mine. The chamber does great work here in our community. And so this last year has been definitely a chaotic one. and it's one of those things where if I had 1 year left to live, I'd want to be the president of the chamber because it's been the longest year of my life.
Good. Okay. Keeping you busy and out of trouble.
Yeah. Keeping me alive. No, it's been great. This community is fantastic. And the way that the chamber makes it better is important. And so, yeah, it's been a fun year.
Last time you were in, you were talking about insurance.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
That's your day job.
That's
right?
My day job.
Okay.
Right?
So what's been going on at the chamber that you want folks to know about?
Well, I think, we just had a great day was it Tuesday or Wednesday, where we have the chamber's got a lot of different facets to it. And one of them is the Inspire Foundation. And the CEO of the Inspire Foundation is a lady named Kathy Moore. Mm-hmm. And her and our CEO, Tom Hoffert, work in concert on a lot of different programs. And one of them is a leadership youth program. And so we've got a whole bunch of kids from the Salem-Keizer School District that have given up a part of their week, part of their month of going to school to be involved in this program. And what I love about it is that it brings together kids who are not necessarily your, straight A propeller heads in the school, but
propeller heads.
Yeah.
Nice.
But these are kids that have a desire to, take their game to the next level. And for a lot of them, they're stepping out of their comfort zone, way outside their comfort zone. And you get to see the maturation of these kids as they go through the process. And so the first year of the program is really learning about business and nonprofits in the area, learning about how to communicate with each other, with adults, in a variety of settings. And then the second year is they get to go serve on a board here in the community. So you have kids from all over Salem and Keizer that are involved in this program. There's even a kid who's a homeschooled kid who's participating in this program. So it's just a way of taking kids from all walks and bringing them together, making this town of 170,000 people a lot smaller. And we just celebrated the graduation. And seeing where they start out and then where they end up and hearing their stories of how this program has changed them and connecting them is really important. And having these kids come back and be invested in Salem is really important to what we need to have inside this community. And so it was a fantastic program, great day, and enjoyed that whole process.
So you get to take kids from all walks, I heard you say this, and you taught them to interact with adults.
Right.
That's a big deal, because a lot of the teenagers walking around with their cell phones, texting each other, even though they're sitting next to the other person.
Right.
And not communicating back and forth and face to face. And that's important.
Well, I'm starting just to think about your community. Mm-hmm. And that you have a role to play in what you inherit. And it's something that I think about with, what am I passing on? But I also want my kids and these kids, I want them to be thinking about, what impact can I play? And we have seen it. We've seen a lot of kids who stepped up over the last few years to help with the homeless situation in our community. It's something that they're struck by. There's a great program that was started by some kids a few years ago at Salem Alliance called Give a Shirt. And it was literally came about from them realizing that one of the things that was keeping homeless kids out of school was the fact that they were wearing the same clothes to school every day.
Hmm.
And it was a source of embarrassment for them. And kids stepped up and they started a program that raised money that ended up helping to put on shopping sprees for these kids, where then, you know, homeless kids could be connected with other kids in the school and they could go shopping and help to pick out and purchase the new clothes for them to wear. And it reduced a barrier to them being involved. And so I think that there's a lot to offer, but sometimes it's just making them aware of the need and then the nonprofits that exist and plugging them in and saying, you know, you may be 17, 18 years old, and you may think that you don't have a role to play, but in actuality, you do, and we need you to be involved.
Yeah, get that connection going. So just to clarify, you've been the president of the board for how long now?
9 months.
That's it?
That's it.
Wow. So we talked to you roughly after you started.
Yeah, yeah, not long after. So
you feel more comfortable now?
Trial by fire. Yeah. Yeah, I'm settling in, and my term's just about done. So
what?
Right now that I'm comfortable, and yeah, no, it's...
Is it only a year?
It's only a one-year term, yep.
Oh, so, that's kind of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
No, it's good. It's good to have term limits in this situation.
Yeah, but it should be at least 2 years to make an impact then. I mean, how long... You got to learn on the job,
yeah.
So that takes at least 6 months.
You got a year of being president-elect, and, you know, I was lucky I inherited it from Kurt Arthur, who was the president before me, and he did a good job of taking the baton and running with it. And I'll mm-hmm. still be on the board. I'll still be serving as a past president. It is a huge time commitment. And so I was on city council for 6 years, and that's a huge time commitment, but it's nothing compared to what the chamber has been and has required. And it's good. It's good work to do. It's an excellent way to volunteer your time and to give back, but it is a huge time commitment. And I know that my business partners are excited for me to finish up my term to to get back to...
Well, at least you have a flexible work scenario that you can work around it.
I've got very good business partners who understand the need to give back to the community and who help to cover for me when I'm out doing these things. So, and the whole team in my office has been fantastic in helping to pick up a lot of the slack.
Yeah.
So like this morning I was taking my daughter to school, and she's normally very dialed in, very low key. But when she loses it, it's an awesome spectacle to watch. And it was a bad hair morning for her.
Oh boy.
Which I can't relate to. And so I was trying to help her, and it went to level 11 quickly. And I ended up getting to my office late. I had a board meeting for another board that I'm on, and I had to call my partner and ask her to get the coffee ready and to let the folks in. And but that's part of the understanding about the need to give back, and that it really does take a team. So but they're ready for me to be done with my chamber obligations.
Sounds like a plan. And your daughter, she get that all worked out?
Yeah, I mean, I it is one of those things where I have a hard time relating to, and I'm trying to help her do her hair, and it's fun for me because I'm almost bald, so getting a chance to help her with that is I just dream that I might have something like that on my head someday.
You did when you were younger.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's gone now.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's time for us to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of Newsmakers with guest host TJ Sullivan. He's the president of the board of Salem Chamber of Commerce. I'm Dave Bourne. Thank you for joining us. We're going to talk more about the news of the day next on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape. Welcome back to Newsmakers. Our guest host today, TJ Sullivan, is the president of the board of the Salem Chamber of Commerce. That's a big, long title, TJ.
Yeah, I wear it well.
So we were talking during the break, one of the connotations being that I was just recently by Washington, D.C., and mm-hmm. my wife really wanted to go see the White House.
Right.
But we were in the airport. I didn't want to go back through TSA again. And I kind of regret doing that because I could have seen it and been there and seen it. And everybody should see our monuments, our White House. But then you were saying that there's a kind of a negative connotation about Washington, D.C., and it kind of relates back to here to Salem, where when you say, hey, what's going on in Salem, people get this negative connotation about the legislature, representatives. Are they doing good? Are they just trying to take our money?
Well, I think you know it's one of those things where with D.C., I mean, D.C. is an unbelievable town.
Yeah.
I love going there. I love it. I've been there probably 10 times in the last 7 or 8 years, and I still have a lot of things I need to see there.
Oh yeah, there's a lot there,
and it's great. But you start to talk about it in a negative way, that you know what's happening in Washington and the draining the swamp, and we do it with Salem as well. And I hear it, and I try to separate out for folks when they talk about, you know, gosh, you know, all the horrible things that are happening in Salem. No. That's the ivory tower.
Right.
That's not, you know, everything else that's happening in Salem. There's a lot of positive things that are going on here. We just had, I put my son on a plane this morning to go to Washington, D.C. with his schoolmates. And, you know, one of the things that he brought up to me that we've been wrestling with, it's a question that came out of a conversation that we had. And it's a question I don't like. It's, what does the end of America look like?
Ooh.
And he brought it up in a way because he said, you know, it's I feel like it's going to be my generation that loses this country. And
that's pretty deep.
Yeah. For somebody who's 13, 14 years old.
That's it. Wow.
To be thinking about this. And he and really is just because he was a little overwhelmed thinking about all the problems that confront us, mm-hmm. and what the answers are, you know, to what we're dealing with. And, you know, we start to break it down, bring it back to what's inside of our, you know, circle of control. And you begin to look at, you know, the state, and it really does feel overwhelming when you begin to look at, you know, just the amount of space that's being given, how far the scales are tipped right now in terms of who's in control. And it's swayed so far in one direction that, I mean, it really, what's happening is it's almost hard to conceive. You know, we had before the election, for the gubernatorial election last year, it came out that the Department of Education was sitting on the results of the schools in an effort to try and keep it under wraps until after the election.
Yeah, I remember that.
So you're suppressing information.
Right.
And then, you know, we just had recently, we had the Oregonian came out with an article that different state agencies have been trying to suppress information again, that shows that talks about kids who are being either hurt or killed while in the care of the state, mm-hmm. whether it's through foster care or other programs. And again, it was an effort to suppress that information. There was information about the Secretary of State's office looking into issues between the governor and unions and Nike and some of the agreements that they have reached. And then you see Dennis Richardson pass away, and the governor appoints Bev Clarno to come in. And before she's even gone in and met with staff, people who are investigating these other state departments inside of the Secretary of State's office are dismissed from their jobs in a way that surprised everyone, that without any kind of performance review or critique, folks who have been operating at a high level and getting a lot of work done and holding other state agencies accountable are let go. And you sort of wonder, like, what kind of system are we living in where where information is suppressed and your political opponents are removed from their positions? I mean, when you start to throw that out, sounds like something that would happen in, you know, North Korea. It doesn't sound like something that should be happening in a state in the United States.
Right.
And so you start to couple that with the other, you know, bills are flying fast and furious, things that are, you know, a lot of new taxes are being proposed. You know, we've heard the number $5.67 billion of new taxes are being proposed. And you really begin to wonder, like, how much of that is actually going to improve our day-to-day outlook on life, and how much of it is actually going just to plug holes inside of our public employee retirement system.
Right.
And so, you know, you start to take this all together, and you go back to the question of what does the end of America look like? And it really, in these situations, it's not caring about the people you represent. It's not caring about making sure that what we hand off to the next generation is something that they can take and run with. Instead, I mean, we're talking about suppressing information and hiding the facts and doing what we can to stay in power, to pay off political debts. None of those things revolve around handing off something that somebody can take and run with. It's really loading the next generation up. It's pushing problems off to let somebody else solve.
Yeah.
And I think that's an overwhelming or daunting task. And so for 13 and 14 year olds, and I think it even as you work your way up, the problems begin to feel so immense that you don't even know where to start to try and solve them. And so, you know, I think my encouragement to him was, you know, look around, figure out where you can get plugged in, figure out what you can do. And I think that's got to be the message back to everybody in our community, is it's one thing to complain about the homeless that are in our population. And I think the wrong answer is, well, somebody else has got to do something about this. And I think each person needs to stop and ask themselves, what am I doing to combat this issue of homelessness? Where do I fit in being part of the solution? Where do I fit in the state of our schools today? Where do I fit in terms of what's happening in our state as it relates to, you know, who's elected and the decisions they're making? I mean, it really shouldn't, even if you're a Democrat, and Democrats are firmly in control right now, a lot of what's happening should not sit well with you. You should want a transparent government. You should want to go and hold these state agencies accountable. You should hold the governor accountable. You should not be satisfied with a governor who looks to suppress information or has, I mean, everybody has said that Bev Clarno coming in, that there was no agreement ahead of time to let these people go. There's no way anybody could believe that. There's no way a rational human being could say these people did not have an agreement ahead of time with her taking this position. And that should not sit well with anybody. We need a Secretary of State's office that doesn't feel the pressure to not investigate other state departments. If a state department is not performing, who's gonna know? Who's gonna alert us?
Right.
That's the Secretary of State's job.
The oversight seems to be gone.
Right. And so now we're in a position where, you know, what's happening at DHS with our foster care program and kids being injured or hurt is not acceptable. And it's interesting. We just had a group of business leaders that got together with the governor basically to help pledge our support with trying to raise money and awareness for our CASA program, which is a court-appointed special advocate.
We talked about that here on Newsmakers.
And, yep. You know, we're we're doing that. We're the business community is coming alongside and saying, this is unacceptable to us. And we need to have a program that works. And Dick Withnell has done a great job, as he always does, with bugging the crap out of people until they get involved. But Dick has made the case, and he's made it very strongly, that this is not going to continue. And I love what the business community here in Salem is doing. But again, you start to look at all these other daunting tasks that are ahead of us, and it's, you know, we're going to need to start to bring more people to the table than just the business community in Salem.
It's sad, too, that it takes a lawsuit to bring into light of problems to force the government to do the right thing.
And it's not just one lawsuit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's millions and millions and millions of dollars that are being paid out to settle with families. And I don't care how much you pay out. If there's a kid who suffers until they die at the hands of somebody that we've put in a position to protect them, I mean, that is a cruel and sick way for a kid to die. And
yeah,
there's no amount of money, honestly, that really compensates for what happened.
No way.
And so, you know, that's where we need to stand up, and that's where we are stepping up. But there's still, I mean, you know, we take care of this issue, and then what's the next issue that we have to take care of?
Yeah.
You know, is it schools? Is it homelessness? You know, our cities are being racked with their PERS debts. You look at what's happening with Salem,
mm-hmm.
And they're going to be upside down, and they're not alone. So, you know, I think that there's a lot more that we need to be doing, and everybody's got to be willing to give a little in this process. And you know, it's interesting, as we've been having these discussions at the state level about how do we start plugging these holes, I don't hear the union coming forward with, hey, listen, this is what we're willing to give up.
No, you don't hear that at all.
Right. Mm.
All right. TJ's
a bummer. It's 72 degrees outside, and sunny, and we're just bringing everybody down.
Let's talk a little more positive stuff maybe next break here.
Let's do that.
All right. TJ Sullivan is the president of the board of Salem Chamber of Commerce. He's our guest host in for Brent today. I'm Dave Bourne. We'll have more on Newsmakers next on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and our friends at Sylvan Learning Center. Welcome back to Newsmakers. I'm Dave Bourne with guest host today. In for Brent is TJ Sullivan. He's the president of the board for the Salem Chamber of Commerce. And we're talking all kinds of topics today. One of them was, what does the end of America look like?
Yeah, that's dark.
That was the dark one. But for your son, who's 13 or 14 years old now,
yeah,
to come up with that question, oof, that's a daunting one. Because even the homeless question is multifaceted for helping to solve it. There's several issues going on. And how do you address it and fix it? Because the homeless problem has been going on since the beginning of time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, for a long time, you know, my kids especially, we'd get in the car and it would be, they'd ask me, you know, who'd win, a cheetah or a cougar? You know, who'd win, an elephant or a rhinoceros? It's like, you know, they'd run through all these questions. And so now all of a sudden, you know, period where, you know, the kids get in the car and there's no questions, and I, you know, you stop and turn and like, hey, you know, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about? You know, and I'm thinking he's going to come up with something related to baseball or school or, you know, and he just looks at me and he's like, you know, I'm just wondering, like, my generation is going to be the one that loses America. I was like, dang, that's...
Wow, that's a deep one.
Let's talk about girls.
That's an easier topic,
yeah,
for dad.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily, but... All right. Speaking of the homeless situation, affordable housing, urban renewal, and all that kind of stuff is subsidizing and putting housing in on public land, and it's supposed to be affordable, but an article here that... that Hunter just found is kind of annoying and indicative of what Portland is doing is they're taking urban renewal money and they're buying and building these houses, and you have to make over $100,000 to live in these houses. They're supposed to be affordable houses for even first-time home buyers to get into, and they're not. They're rich people are now renting because it's more affordable to do so, and that's not right. That's not what that money is supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was at a dinner that was for the home builders, and Tina Kotek was our speaker, and the issue of affordable housing came up, and the cost for land and SDCs were running, you know, roughly $100,000 to $150,000. And when you start to build even a starter house on there, you're looking at a starter home that's $280,000 to $300,000. And we begin to break that down on a monthly basis. There's no way that a family starting out can afford that. And so, you know, this is a question that we need to look at and try and solve, that how are we going to build more affordable housing? Because it's interesting. You have a lot of people who have come to the conclusion that they don't want more people around them. They don't want to see a land inside of the urban growth boundary get developed, let alone land outside the urban growth boundary, or have the urban growth boundary expanded. And yet, you know, Salem is a city that is welcoming a lot of folks from other countries here, mm-hmm. Who are coming here and under legitimate, you know, from Syria and Iraq and places where they're fleeing for their lives, and they're being welcomed to Salem, and we're doing a great job of taking care of them. But they're consuming housing. You also have this is a very livable part of our country. I lived in Minnesota for a year, and I don't understand how anybody lives in Minnesota.
Right.
Right. And so you'd want to come here, and you'd want to live here. And so we have to figure out with the people that are moving here in droves, how do we, you know, find housing for them? And how do we find housing for people who have lived here and want to start a family here if they've lived here? You know, hopefully, you know, my son's 14 and hoping that, you know, he'll live somewhere close. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to force him to. Not like his sister. I will force her to live with us forever. But, you want your kids to be able to find something affordable that's nearby. And our housing options, I think, are going to change. There's a proposal for a development, and it is going to be going in the old McMahon site right across from Pioneer Trust Bank downtown, where I think they've got 300 apartment units going in, and I think they have like 8 to 11 parking spots.
Yeah, right.
For that development.
That's no planning right there.
And yeah, and there's a lot of fear around that, but as I've talked to people, I think my sense is that the people who are doing this have done this in other communities, and if it works financially for them and they see that there are people who are willing to live and work within a small radius, and that having an automobile is not their not what drives them, mm-hmm. No pun intended, but if not having an automobile is something that works for them, or coming up with alternative measures, because getting into these starter homes is expensive. You're not going to go from graduating from college into buying a $300,000 house without a significant amount of help from your family.
Sure.
And so if you don't have that help, you're not going to be doing that. So where are you going to live?
You're
going to
be renting an apartment, which is more than a mortgage.
Right, right. And so, you know, you might need to get innovative, and you might need to live in a 400 square foot apartment in downtown Salem with a Murphy bed and no car in order to...
Been there, done that.
Right. In order to save up and be in a position to move out. So our housing choices are going to change, and I think we need to be open to that, but we also need to be looking at how are we pricing ourselves so that we do have affordable housing for folks.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's a huge issue and something we need to solve. And I mean, you've seen there's enterprise zones, there's, urban renewal dollars that are flowing through. And so putting a mix of housing in your downtown that offers some mixed income, mm-hmm. Is important. And we've seen that happen in other parts of Salem and have it be successful. The redevelopment of Broadway, is a good example of that, where you have not Section 8 housing, but you do have some subsidized housing in there. And then you have some townhomes that are maybe that intermediate step from going from subsidized housing to the townhomes to moving into a house in the Grant neighborhood, which is a great way for somebody to stay in one area as they move through the various life cycles, where your income goes up and your ability to afford different housing goes up.
Sure. My wife and I are trying to get qualified to buy an actual
You shouldn't have
home.
Said that, because now every mortgage broker in town is going to be calling
right?
here.
I had one yesterday call me out of the blue. Hey, I understand you're looking for a mortgage. And I'm like, how did you know? I only applied with one company.
Yeah.
But the credit report triggered it.
Right.
Other companies are monitoring it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah. You just saying that right now, Facebook overheard it. So
I think one of them just called me.
Sharing it with Alexa, and yeah, you're screwed.
Yeah. There's no Alexa in here that I know of. So only thing they can hear us is on the microphones going out over the airways. And now I'm in trouble.
Yeah,
you're right.
You're
right.
Screwed. Yeah.
Yeah. We got a couple more minutes. So with those housing developments, some of them are apartment complexes too, and I noticed that in the downtown area there, like 300 units, and like you were saying, limited parking.
Right.
I could see if someone was living and working in downtown that would make sense for them.
Right.
But if you wanted an apartment complex that's just outside the city, it's still in the city limits, but outside of the core, so to speak. Why are they not putting in more parking for that? I mean, there should be a parking spot for at least every unit.
Yeah, it's what the minimum is. And again, it's an interesting...
Well, they also have federal regulations they have to abide by for a handicap parking as well, right?
Yeah, there's some of that, but it's what the city requirements, parking space per unit, I think is 1.1. And if that's right, I'm going to feel really bad about myself that I know the city parking requirements for apartment buildings, but it's a number that's less than two. And so if you have two people living in an apartment, you know, conceivably they'd have a couple cars, and this gets back to, you know, what you're building, and where you're building it, and meeting the minimum versus trying to put in enough parking. And we've seen this happen all over Salem, where the minimum amount of parking spots is built, and then people kind of spill out into the surrounding neighborhoods and are parking up and down streets and drives everyone crazy who lives around these apartment complexes. And so then you get into the discussion about, well, why don't we up the minimum parking so that these apartment developments are required to build enough parking for everybody who's going to be living there. And then again, you get back into the people who are anti-growth, anti-development.
Mm-hmm.
And in their mind, they're like, well, if we don't build enough parking spots, then they'll just walk or bike or ride the bus, which is not, you know, where
these people live in reality, right?
Right. No.
Yeah. Because wintertime in Oregon, or springtime or fall time when it's raining a lot, not going to be doing a lot of biking or walking.
Yeah, no, I've noticed that a lot of the people who are have opinions on how other people should be living are not, they don't have kids who are still at home who need to get to different practices mm-hmm. around town. They don't have jobs that they have to get to and periodically leave throughout the day. The folks who are driving this, you know, how you should live bus, are really in no position to understand what other people who are, you know, in their parenting and working years are going through.
Mm. Sad.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap it up after this. You're listening to Newsmakers. Guest host today, TJ Sullivan, president of the board for the Salem Chamber of Commerce, in for Brent today. I'm Dave Bourne. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back after this on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly sponsored by Hamblin's Nursery. It's worth the drive. Check out Hamlin's Nursery. I'm Dave Bourne, sitting in with TJ Sullivan. He's filling in for Brent DeHart today, who's off for the next couple of days. Well, he'll be back on Monday. TJ is the president of the board of the Salem Chamber of Commerce. He was also our first guest on Newsmakers on November 13th. And that was quite the show.
Yeah.
A little rough on the edges for us, but I think we muddled through.
Well, I mean, I feel like I've got a voice that's meant for silent movies, and I've got a face that's meant for radio, so it's kind of a wash. Not like Brent's deep baritone. It's just dreamy. So.
Right, and I got to deal with that every day.
I know. It's harsh.
It is harsh.
If I had this job, I think I would just stick to like just a solid diet of Jack Daniels and cigarettes until I got my voice kind of in that John Wayne category.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't? Tried it?
Yeah, I tried it. Doesn't work.
Dang it.
took me 35 years to get this right now.
Yeah, well, my grandma had it. Sounded like John Wayne, but I wouldn't recommend it, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a former smoker. I smoked for 20 years, and I've been... stick free now for 14, 15 years.
Nice.
That's 2005. So.
Yeah. There's nothing like sitting at the end of a bar with a Pall Mall hanging out of your mouth, right?
Yeah, right. Don't miss those days.
Yeah.
Now the smell just, turns my nose.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So in the last few minutes we have left here, TJ, you were saying during the break that there was some interesting and fun things going on in downtown other than the non-parking issue.
Yeah, right.
What's going on?
Well, there's a group that's been formed called Salem Main Street Association that I'm a part of, and it's a group of business owners. And one of the things that's happening in downtown that I love is you have a lot of folks that are in their 20s and 30s that have completely mortgaged their future to invest in businesses in downtown. And Main Street Association has come along. It's a national program, and we've made it our own. We formed our own sort of chapter here in Salem. And we really wanted to come alongside businesses and property owners in downtown to make it a more vibrant, successful place. And so this last Saturday night, we had Salem Dancing with the Stars.
Really?
Yeah. And I participated in that.
Is there video?
There is video proof of this.
Oh, boy.
So, stay tuned for that. It's you really just want to watch Rory McManus and Tawny Hotan and do their dances.
Nice.
Tawny is a doctor out in Santiam at Santiam Hospital, and she absolutely blew the doors off the Elsinore. I knew she was good, but when she was done with her dance, some of the dance professionals came over and were bowing down to her.
Wow.
So that just kind of reinforced. But all the proceeds from this last Saturday night went into Main Street, and it's going to help us with the other promotions that we're looking to do to help promote the downtown core. And so... things like there's a program that we've had called Go Nuts or On Your Feet Friday or First Wednesday. These are all things that are designed to bring people from all parts of Salem into our living room or our family room, which is our downtown, and help to, again, just like I talked about with our Leadership Youth Program, make a big city feel small.
Sure.
And to connect people from all points in our central location. So... lots of cool things that we have coming up. My ultimate goal, and I know that one that's shared by other board members, is we want Salem to own Christmas, to be a place where people can, from all over, the Willamette Valley, are saying, we need to go spend a night in Salem or a day in Salem shopping so that we can experience Christmas at that level. Ideally, we were looking forward to having carolers and people dressed up in costumes, maybe get Brent out there as Buddy the Elf, have Scrooge pre and post metamorphosis, and
nice.
Just really make Salem a fun place for people to come and experience Christmas in a big way.
You think maybe a Christmas display?
Yeah.
In like one of the parks or
like
something?
Like a living display?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Because have you ever been to the one in Idaho?
No.
Along the, it's in the main street area along the river,
right?
And it's on the river banks through town. It's all lit up. It's beautiful. I'll show you pictures later.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'd love to see it. Yeah, I know it with Christmas, I always feel like, I mean, you really want to just adopt the Clark Griswold mindset, right?
Sure, yeah.
Just, there's not enough that you can do, because people just love, absolutely love Christmas. And so, you know, we want as wherever, however many lights you can bring, let's double it and see and what that looks like. And then, you know, again, it's just going overboard with it. That's what people love. That's what helps to make memories. I talk all the time about growing up, and we used to have a department store here called Frederick and Nielsen, and they had the cinnamon bear, and kids would lose their minds when they would see the cinnamon bear at Christmas time.
Yeah.
And that's just one small thing, but it's weird how many people have fond memories of that, and the smells and what it looked like, and, you know, the magic of Frederick and Nielsen, which wasn't that magical of a store, but they had a, you know, somebody walking around dressed up like a red bear, and it burned memories into people's brains. And so, you know, we're looking to do that to help supplement what our downtown business owners and property owners have.
All right, we just have 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
What are some of the other quick things you're working on with the chamber?
Well, I think politically, we are taking a look at what is happening inside of our city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've heard a lot of people voice displeasure over the bridge decision that came out of the city council.
Brendan, I can't stop talking about it.
I you know, it got to the point with me where I really wanted to let it go. Because it was so aggravating. And then I read a quote by my city councilor, Jackie Lung, who said, yeah, I heard from people, but it really was kind of, you know, 50-50. And we pulled all the emails that the councilors received mm-hmm. on the bridge issue and counted them up. And it was almost 95-5 in terms of pro support versus anti support that
right.
my city councilor received. And then she turns around and says, well, it's really 50-50, pretty much, you know, people on both sides of the issue. And in reality, you didn't. And you had a very clear message coming from the city, and all the polling shows that folks support this. And yet the city council turned their back. And so as a chamber of commerce, we have a responsibility to ensure that Salem is livable and a place that people want to come and it's easy to do business. And the ability to transport goods and services is a huge part of that.
Absolutely.
And so we're being called on by a lot of different facets in our community to get back involved in things political that are happening here. So I think that'll be the next step that you'll see that the chamber start to take on.
Well, excellent. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
TJ Sullivan is the president of the board for the Salem Chamber of Commerce and our honorary first guest on Newsmakers here on 1430 KYKN. I'm Dave Bourne. Have yourself an excellent day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.